You're listening to 91.9 FM KPTZ Under the Rainbow. And this is Marcia Pearlstein, your friendly neighborhood interviewer, and I'm about to interview Allison Green. She is the author of The Ghosts Who Travel With Me, which just came out. She's a writing teacher coming to offer classes at Centrum this summer, and she's an avid and appreciative writing group participant because she describes her group on her blog, and she credits them with her being able to put out the wonderful book that she put out. Isn't that true, Allison?
Oh, that is absolutely true, Marcia, and thank you for having me here.
And the reason we have you under the rainbow is going to get me right into the conversation, because you're a lesbian who traversed Brautigan's path. Now, Brautigan is a womanizer. So, first of all, when they said there's a lesbian coming to town to teach at Centrum that has a wonderful new novel, will you do the interview? I said, sure. And then when I found out what it was, I got puzzled. And what I loved about the book is you were equally puzzled. You didn't know why. You didn't know why you were following his trail. You discovered it as you did it. Is that true?
That's right. It was Easter of 2008, and the New York Times published an article on literary pilgrimages involving kind of psychedelic authors like Kerouac and Burroughs. And they mentioned Richard Brautigan's Trout Fishing in America book novel. In 1961, Brautigan and his wife and toddler daughter traveled through Idaho, and that trip became part of his novel, Trout Fishing in America. So when this article came out, I thought, wow, I used to be upset at all of his books, but I had given them all away as I traveled around, except Trout Fishing in America. So it made me reread the book, now in my 40s, and it really made me ask this question, who had I been at 12, 13, 14 years old, a woman who would become a writer, who would marry another woman? Who was it that loved Brautigan?
You were able to take a real step back and have nuanced responses to him. You could simultaneously notice that the woman on the cover of Trout Fishing in America is never named, because women were not important to these guys except to satisfy certain needs. And you were able to sort of step back and look at things in a larger way and really discover things along your path. Have you always been kind of that sort of a sensitive, interested person trying to puzzle out answers to life's questions?
I think that's what makes a writer, really. Writing is a way of figuring out what you think and what you feel. I think most great books, and certainly many memoirs, and certainly this memoir, start with a question. You start the writing process not knowing what the answer will be, and I think that's what makes it of interest to readers as well. You're truly going on a journey to figure out an answer. And so one of the questions guiding this was, who had I been as a teenager, and who did I become? And now, given all that, what did I think of Brautigan now?
It's described as an unconventional memoir. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's as common as you say that most writers try to figure things out by their writing. The writing's not as good. A memoir to them is, we did this, we did that, and then so-and-so came over, kind of like my seventh grade journal. Yours is very layered. You're able to look at all kinds of questions, and I love how you place yourself, and it got me to place myself as the reader, because I'm 70 years old, so in the 60s, I was part of a lot of the counterculture that you look back at and try to understand, and it's sort of very exciting for me to see what we went through your eyes. I think that's an interesting way to do history, in a sense.
You know, other people who have read the book have said that to me, too, that it made them think about what did it mean to them to have been born at a particular time and place. I had to explore this question because a big part of why I was in love with Brautigan was I was in love with this counterculture that was just a little too old, you know, I was just a little too young to participate in. So what does that mean to me? And I talk about in the book being at Seattle's Volunteer Park and the flower children were painting butterflies on my arms. I've run into other people that said, oh, I was there. I was there at Volunteer Park when the flower children were there painting people. And I think it's just so fascinating to see how just 5 years or 10 years or 20 years can shift your whole perspective.
Well, and it was interesting to me that that it triggered for me my memories and my comparisons. So when you talked about the March on Washington for gay rights in 87, mm-hmm. first of all, I was at the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream speech. I walked that same path in 87 that I walked in 63. It was like a total full circle experience because I was an ally for civil rights. I was a white ally walking hand in hand with blacks, and they were, of course, called Negroes then. And then in 1987, PFLAG was at the front of our march, and our allies were marching with us. I'm also a lesbian, married to my wife, married 3 years, together 30 years. And so you triggered so much memory and so much deeper layers of looking at our past and connecting it with our present. And I think that, listener, that's going to happen to all of you when you read the book, which, by the way, we're going to tell you about Ooligan Press and how you can get it. And, Allison, you're going to be here for Centrum. So let's talk a little bit about what you're going to be teaching and doing.
Actually, I am just there to teach one workshop on Thursday. So people who have signed up for the conference usually sign up for classes in the morning with specific instructors. And then there are a whole range of afternoon workshops that they can take. And so I'll be teaching a workshop that Thursday afternoon. My wife and I are going to come up and hang out for the week and go to readings. And it's just a wonderful time to be in Port Townsend.
For sure. And what's your workshop called?
A travel memoir. Essentially. So I can't remember the exact title, but it's about we all take these trips that are meaningful for us. For those folks who would like to write about those experiences, I think there's some things to think about in terms of how do you make that experience interesting to readers who haven't been where you're going or have not had the same experience as you've had. So to try to make a travel memoir more than just a travelogue.
Exactly, and that's what you exactly did. That's what's just so amazing and compelling about the book. You wrote a novel before that. Let's hear about that novel.
So I have a novel. It came out many years ago, 15 years ago. It's called Half Moon Scar. It was published by St. Martin. It was really a coming-out, coming-of-age novel. When I mostly grew up in Seattle, but when I was in elementary school, my father had an academic position in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We moved from there back to Seattle when I was starting seventh grade, and I felt that my world changed. I always kind of thought back to who would I have been if I had stayed there. And so the novel is about a woman who goes back to this small town where she grew up to kind of face what does it mean to be a lesbian and go back to your small hometown. So that's what the novel's about.
I had an E.E. Cummings flash when I saw the title in all lowercase. That was what inspired that?
Oh, I think that was the designer of the book. I think that wasn't my choice.
But you know what? That leads me to, for a person in your 40s, you have an amazing community sense, a sense of really working together, and it taking a village to create a book. And you're appreciative, you're generous with your gratitude to people who've worked with you, especially your writing group, but also all the folks at Ooligan Press. What got you to be so community-minded?
Well, that's a good question, and I have to say I'm turning 52 this Monday, so or my early 50s now. You know, I don't know. I think my family, my parents are very community-minded, have always been, and family-oriented, and I'm sure that has something to do with it. And also with an impulse towards social justice, you know, as my father was at the March on Washington in 1963. And so I think that's so interesting that you did both of those marches. So my father did one and I did the one in 87. So always felt that commitment to social justice. And then it just truly is the case with a book that you write maybe in isolation in your office. That's how I write. But ultimately, a whole lot of other people play a role, whether it's giving you that time and space or it's reading your work and giving you feedback and support, which is my writing group. A place like Ooligan Press, which is unusually community-oriented in the sense that many people work on your book because it's a teaching press. So you have graduate students doing editing, designing, marketing. So really, so many people create everything we do, and I think the more we acknowledge that, the better.
I totally agree. Let's just now bounce to yesterday's Supreme Court decision. Now, listener, it won't be yesterday when you hear this edited interview. We both know that. Place that in perspective for yourself.
Stunning. really stunning. So also, when I first came out in the mid-80s. I was graduating from college, from the Evergreen State College, and I fell in love with a woman for the first time. And I went into therapy with a local therapist in Olympia who worked with a lot of people coming out, and we audio tape my sessions. Well, 2 years ago, I decided to listen to those audio tapes. And at that time, I said, people will never support two women being married and find that to be normal. And here it is, 25, 26 years later, to have a Supreme Court make it legal. It's just stunning. It's just stunning.
And to have a Kennedy be the swing vote, a man who didn't allow two men to marry 20 years ago, is also pretty stunning. And the other thing that, for me, again, full circle from black civil rights to GLBT civil rights, talking to somebody like you, well, talking specifically to you, somebody who cares mm-hmm. about social justice, I'm mm-hmm. hoping that the GLBT community now steps up, turns around, and works on anti-racism stuff. I mean, I think that would be awesome if we could really, really gather, just as we had allies, and be allies for the next stage of not shooting black young men for the crime of being black. And I'll get off my little thing.
Oh, absolutely.
We're all in this together.
We're all in this together. And this, we take a moment to celebrate, and then we get back to work.
Exactly. I didn't want to be dour yesterday. I was celebratory. But today, it's roll up our sleeves and business as usual. I mean, or better than usual. So getting back to Allison Green, what are you next working on?
I'm working on another memoir. So you may have noticed in the memoir that, you know, I'm talking about this trip, and I'm talking about being a baby boomer. And then there's threads of feminism and some issues of race come in. And so those are things that continue to interest me, and I've been writing about for a long time. So I'm writing about a brief time in my family's life when we lived in St. Croix, Virgin Islands, when I was a child. And my father was an anthropologist there, doing research there. And so I'm exploring what that meant for our family, and really about whiteness and about class and about gender, and also about, again, this is 1969. So there's a lot going on in the world and a lot going on in St. Croix. So I'm writing a memoir about that.
And I think you expressed the crux of your philosophy about memoir writing so well in one of the pieces of information I received from Ulga, and I have to quote it. And this is Allison Green speaking. Don't you love to hear your own words said to yourself? Quote, I'm drawn to nostalgia. It's tricky because it can make us romanticize the past, but nostalgia can be more textured than that. It's part yearning, part grief, part reckoning with complicated feelings. I'm feeling nostalgic these days about my book project coming to fruition. And it goes on. Mm-hmm. I really do think that's the centerpiece of your nuanced look at things. You look at the world, you look at yourself in relation to the world, you look at what's happening to you as you go along, and then you look back from a perspective of where you are now. It's so textured and multi-layered, it really is.
Well, thank you. And, you know, that comes from different strains. I mean, one is the feminist, the personal is political. I'm always trying to figure out, what has my personal experience been, and how is that a reflection of a larger experience? What has influenced me? What has made it possible for me to do this? So that's one thread. There's also just so many interesting writers right now doing memoir and creative nonfiction who are interested in those layers as well. And so there are many great writers whose work it is that has inspired me.
Who are some of the writers that have inspired you?
I'll tell you, I mean, many writers over the years, of course, have inspired me, but a couple of people that have been writing recently that I would draw attention to, who are writing really interesting, kind of non-traditional layered memoir. One is Deborah Miranda, who wrote a book called Bad Indians, and also Alyssa Washuda, who has a book called My Body is a Book of Rules, both experimenting with form, both writing about race, ethnicity, gender, the body, history, culture. So those are a couple of people I've read recently that I love. I like to say that after I got over my Brodigan obsession, my next obsession was Doris Lessing. I read the Golden Notebook when I was 16. That blew my mind for sure.
Are you reading all of her works now?
Doris Lessing? You know, At the time, I think I read everything she'd written on, you know, between about 16 to 18. I read everything that was available then.
Have you ever gone back and read a book you read then? And read it again?
A Doris Lessing?
Yeah.
Yes, I reread The Golden Notebook in graduate school, and I think I wrote a paper about it, but I don't know what I remember what I said. I haven't read it since.
Yeah, I do make fresh discoveries. It's always a battle. You know, do you want to get turned on to something new, or do you want to have a new experience with an old friend, an old book friend? But anyway, we're getting ready to wrap up. Is there anything that the listener needs to know about you that I haven't had an opportunity to ask you? This is your chance to share Allison Green with Port Townsend and beyond.
No, I guess the only other thing I would say about The Ghosts Who Travel With Me is that the other thread that I haven't mentioned is literal ancestry. I've come to say that the book is about literal and literary ancestry. My father's parents were from Idaho, so my grandparents appear in the book. And I think all of these threads that make us who we are, both the people we're related to by blood or the people who are in our families of choice, as well as the people we read and the people who have gone before us in these struggles for social justice, I think it's interesting the debt that we owe them, and to untangle all those threads is an ongoing project for me. I just find really fascinating.
That triggers what you were talking about with feminism. Feminism frightens people, that word, these days. What would you say to people that don't really understand feminism?
Yeah, I think it's so fascinating that we keep having that conversation. I mean, I was, 9 years old when the Equal Rights Amendment was being debated. This is in the book, that my fourth grade teacher told me that if the Equal Rights Amendment passed, women would have to go to the jungle and handle snakes. So I feel like people are still kind of saying that, feminism must mean that women are going to be snake handlers or something, which, of course, I suppose some people are really good at being snake handlers, but most of us never will be. So I just find it odd that conversation has to continue. It's pretty clear, I think, if you listen to people who use the word feminist, that all that they're saying is social and economic justice.
And women's empowerment, being able to be who you are. Hey, we're on the same page, Allison. I knew that would be true. You've been listening to Under the Rainbow, Looking Out and Looking Forward. I've been interviewing Allison Green. This is Marcia Pearlstein, your friendly neighborhood interviewer. I do want to say, if you want to know more about, first of all, her book will be able to be purchased at Centrum this coming season now. OOLIGANPRESS, OOLIGANPRESS.PDX.edu, and then you can communicate with her directly. You can find out more about what else the press is doing. Allison, we're mad about you. We just got very excited when we heard what you were up to, and then especially that you were coming. So thank you for being with us today. This is Marcia Pearlstein, your friendly neighborhood interviewer. I would like to thank Mike Schlexer, our production person extraordinaire, Nora Petrich, our station manager, Larry Stein, our program director. Go gently. If you can't go gently, go as gently as you can.